In fact, this ruling came a bit late. It should have been issued long ago, given that all the evidences indicating the atrocities committed by the RSF were everywhere. You got news outlets, international bodies, very renowned, including the United Nations. All of them confirmed the atrocities committed by the RSF. So this ruling that has recently been issued, I think the day before, it came a bit late. It should have been earlier, so that at least there could be some kind of follow-up through Interpol, so that the culprits should be summoned or arrested wherever they are, and also to have their sponsors account for the atrocities they have helped to be committed.
Over the last 2.5 years, or close to 2.5 years, that we've actually been covering the atrocities and the genocide being committed in Sudan, and the displacement literally of millions of innocent civilians, forced famine being created, RSF committing atrocity upon atrocity. There was strong circumstantial evidence that the RSF is being armed by the United Arab Emirates. They've continued to deny it despite the circumstantial evidence. And this evidence continues to stack up. Has that changed in any way?
There is no change as far as denial. Denying by the United Arab Emirates is concerned, and this kind of denial is like covering your face with your hands in broad daylight and claiming that the sun doesn't exist, which actually ridiculous, and everybody will be laughing at it. The support of the United Arab Emirates is evident, and this is something that is confirmed also by international bodies. And even the Emirati officials, such as Anwar Gargash, in his tweets, he always mentioned, in a way or another, the support that they are giving to the rebels in Sudan. So in a way or another, they are culprit in the genocide that are made there. And until this moment, of course, United Arab Emirates is officially denying its involvement, but it is something that you can't deny, because in the field, in the battlefield, sometimes the army overtook the certain cities and overpowered the rebel groups and found within them some passports. Oh, passports by the Emiratis, and passport of the mercenaries that were brought by the United Arab Emirates. And why are you going that far? The rebels themselves are ignorant to the extent that they themselves are taking photos of themselves and publishing it on social media, just to pride themselves of what they are doing. They even posted themselves raping women, actually, and children, and they posted it as a kind of, they're showing it as kind of boasting of it. So we don't need to look for evidence here and there. It is there on the social media and documented by the rebels themselves. So whether United Arab Emirates denies or confirms, it doesn't change the narrative on the ground, and doesn't change what's happening on the ground. So it is confirmed and everything is there.
So, yes, Ramadan, we've also seen a couple of investigative journalists go to great lengths to look into mercenaries that were even hired from the Americas to come over and join the ranks of the RSF, that the United Arab Emirates also outsourced the purchasing of military tech and ammunition, which they purchased through various companies in the United Kingdom. And that was then shipped through different channels, but it was eventually earmarked and then used by the RSF. And there's a lot of, again, circumstantial evidence to back up on all of these investigations that have been conducted. It actually shows the widespread network that was set up by the RSF in large part because they were being propped up and they're continuing to be propped up by the UAE. But now, given this latest sentence, the fact that Mohammed Hamdan Dagalo is not in government custody as yet, what practical impact do you think this death sentence is likely to have?
This sentence will have impact in many ways. One is that there is a talk at the moment of some kind of political momentum and some kind of negotiations to assimilate the rebel movement or the Dagalo or whatsoever in a kind of political solutions. This is the aspirations of the United Arab Emirates and also the aspirations of the United States. So with this sentence, this possibility does not exist anymore, because this is a convict, somebody who is convicted of murder, convicted of all these kind of crimes, and has to face his fate in court. That's number one. Number two, the support that the United Arab Emirates is giving to the rebels with this sentence is now evident that they are supporting somebody who is a convict, and this will have repercussions, of course, in whether internally or externally. And I think lawyers are collecting evidence in order to add on top of what they have already have with regard to the United Arab Emirates involvement previously and currently, based on the investigative journalism that you have referred to. There are so many, it's not one, not two, but so many international figures, media figures, have conducted a lot of investigations, and they accumulated solid evidence that the United Arab Emirates has been involved in supporting the rebel movement. So now, as the rebel leader is now convicted and sentenced to death, then any support that goes to the rebels is a kind of support that is support for somebody who is sentenced to death. And the United Arab Emirates will, in this case, will be culprit. And I think Sudanese authorities will start following up with the Interpol in order to arrest those who are involved, including the leader, Hemeti himself.
Ramadan, what has the response been like thus far from the international community after the announcement of the death sentence of the RSF leader?
I think the announcement concerns the Sudanese people in the first place, more than the so-called international community. And I think sometimes we give the word international community more than it deserves, because there is nothing called international community. There are certain powerhouses that are controlling everything in the world. So wherever you see troubles going on, they have, in a way or another, they are involved. And when we talk about this, we speak about Zionism and the fact that Zionism is controlling the United States, the United Arab Emirates, and this international the Freemason, and so on. So these are the ones who are calling the shots behind the scenes, and sometimes they call themselves international community. Actually, if international community means United Nations or these international bodies that are completely paralyzed towards what's happening in the Middle East, whether in Palestine, whether the aggression on Iran by the Israel and the United States. So these are manifestations of how helpless these international bodies have become. Mm. So the talk about the international community, we are giving it more than it deserves because it doesn't exist at all. And I think every country has to do whatever it can in order to protect its sovereignty, to protect its people, and to do whatsoever it can in order to establish law and order. The so-called international community does not help in this. So when it comes to this sentence that is issued now recently, I don't expect any kind of steps to be taken by the international community. So that is no exception from what happens in Palestine and what happens in everywhere else in the world.
Mm. Indeed, Ramadan, you've kind of sketched it very broadly for us to be able to connect the dots. The Zionist entity, with full support from the United States, they continue to commit a genocide in occupied Palestine that's been ongoing for a number of years. Large-scale atrocities have been committed there for many, many years. In the same breath, we see that the United Arab Emirates has very close ties to the Zionist entity. And in this case, back home in your country, it is the RSF, the Rapid Support Forces, that are committing atrocities and a genocide, and they are being supported by the United Arab Emirates. So in the sum total of that, we connect the dots. There has to be links. The proof is essentially there. If we conclude our conversation, what message does this ruling send to other RSF commanders and fighters that are continuing to commit atrocities in Sudan?
Okay, before coming to this, I think you mentioned that United Arab Emirates is used as a functional state. This is a functional state. It's not acting on its own, and it is not just cooperating, but it is used as a functional state in this regard. And I think its involvement, not only in Sudan, look at what happened in Yemen,
yes,
what happened in Egypt, what happened in Tunisia, what happened in Syria, Iraq, and all these areas. United Arab Emirates is heavily involved on the other side, supporting the Zionist narrative that was going on. Coming to your question, definitely the sentence means a lot internally, and it means a lot to those fighters who are now calculating their steps in order to avoid being sentenced to death or convicted in a way that might prohibit or prevent their future involvement in Sudanese politics. Many of them, as I'm talking to you now, are in the queue to surrender themselves in order to distance themselves from the RSF and try to find some kind of amnesty in order to avoid further sentences against them. And I think it will impact a lot on them.